Welcome back to Starting a Ministry Biz Skills class. So today we're going to talk about credibility. How do you have credibility if you want to influence people?
Okay.
All right. So Paul's credibility question. Let's look at that.
Okay.
2 Corinthians 11. Paul was... He was being attacked by some of the apostles. Paul was sort of a disciple late to the game.
Okay.
And there were people criticizing him. And so he feels the need to defend himself, although as he's defending himself, he's saying, you know, why am I even doing this? This
right,
doesn't
right.
matter. But in the end, I think, it mattered.
Right.
So he says... Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I shouldn't have to worry about this.
Right.
But it's something we all do. I am more. I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. And then he goes on and on and on and on. To defend why he should be listened to, why he should be an influencer.
Hmm.
And so that's really what we're talking about. If you want to start a ministry biz, if you want to do any ministry at all, if you want to do any business at all, it's really about being an influencer.
Yeah. And credibility is part of that.
Right. So why should people listen to me?
Right.
Why should people follow what I say? So there's two aspects of credibility. One is, if you don't think you're credible,
right,
then you won't influence anybody.
I mean, that could even be like one of the most important
yes.
things about credibility is you know in your heart you're confident.
Right. If you're not confident about what it is that you want to say or do, then why would people follow anything that you do?
Right.
So having self-confidence and credibility in yourself is one thing, but then there's also why should someone, you might be, you should all listen to me because I know what I'm talking about.
I'm God's gift to the world.
Yeah. But why should someone else buy what you have to say?
Right.
What makes you credible? What's behind your statement of, hey, please follow me? So I want to just look at a few verses. This whole credibility issue is behind leadership.
Right.
So after, Judas, one of the 12 disciples, he killed himself, so there were only 11. They felt the need to replace him. So in Acts chapter 1, therefore it's necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So there was some criteria that they used to pick that 12th disciple who witnessed these things. We are the witnesses of who Jesus is. We need a replacement. And so we need someone that's credible.
Right.
That has seen what we have seen. So they applied some credibility standards behind that. Okay, let's go to the next one.
Okay.
Choosing of the seven. So this is the beginning of the early church again. They chose that extra disciple, but it wasn't enough leaders.
Right.
So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. There was a problem with the Jewish widows and the Greek-speaking widows. Brothers and sisters, choose seven men from among you. Not just any
right.
men. Among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. So they needed seven leaders. They didn't just pick them randomly.
Right.
They picked people who fit a certain criteria again. So there's certain standards behind, certain credibility systems behind the leadership, because these seven men were going to go out and do helping, and we don't know what five of them did, but we know Stephen in the very next chapter, he's not waiting on tables, he's like preaching. He's doing evangelism, yeah. And so powerfully that
first martyr sort
that
of.
he gets after Jesus Christ, right, he ends up being stoned because he was preaching so forcefully. And the next one is Philip,
right,
who is out there evangelizing and baptizing people. So these
and
were
the church in Ethiopia,
right. So these are leaders. These are diaconus. They are servants, serving, but they went out in confidence because there were some criteria by which they were chosen.
Very interesting.
So credibility. So what we want to look at is credibility in your seven connections.
Ooh, I like that. The seven connections.
So number one, in your relationship to God. So that's the most important.
It is.
If you don't have a relationship with God, and that is not evident, then your credibility in all ministry is questioned.
Right.
But if you're not walking with God and you're telling people how to live, you're out there preaching, or you're out there doing chaplaincy work, or you're trying to evangelize, or you're trying to do a coffee shop where you're trying to lead people to the Lord, but you're not actually walking with God yourself,
right,
then what do you have to share?
There's a great story about that when Peter and John are, rallied up and arrested, and, you know, they're wondering what to do, and there was that one line. They took note that they had been with Jesus.
Right. So no. How in the world did people take note of that?
Oh.
Right? It was evident.
It was evident. And that's their personal life. They had a personal connection, personal faith, belief. They walked the walk, and they were not going to be easily flogged out of their passion for Jesus Christ.
Right. So this week, our church is going through the book of Acts right now, and so I have to preach on the weekend, and so I'm reading the passages and thinking about them all the time, about how Paul had to stand trial several times.
Right.
And then I thought about how one day we will all stand trial. So that's what's on my mind. Now, right, as I'm talking to people, to be relevant, I can say things like, hey, I was just reading this week in the Bible. See, right, I have a relevant walk with God. It's not just some, hey, let me share some shtick that I learned long ago about how to share my faith.
Right.
No, I'm talking about the things that I'm doing.
It's an ongoing, real relationship.
Yes.
And that is credible, because we even hear that the Holy Spirit is the deposit. When you're walking with God, you even are credible just because you are in connection to the God of the universe.
So a lot of times, someone will have some bad experience or they're going through something, and then we'll say, hey, I'll pray for you.
Right.
Okay? We say that, but it's almost become a cliche. It's almost become just a saying.
Right.
But if you say, I'll pray for you, and the next week you meet that person and you go, hey, I've been praying for that situation. How is it going?
That's right.
See, now the I will pray for you has credibility.
That's correct.
Because there's something there.
Interesting. Okay.
Okay. Number two, your relationship with your spouse.
Hmm.
Okay, we remember, Henry, we would do it when we worked at the Bible League. We did these church planting seminars, and we had one spouse come.
Yeah.
Remember? And we would teach them this and that, and they got all excited. They were pumped.
Right.
They were ready to go. And then they came home, and their spouse sort of threw cold water on everything that they had learned.
Yes.
And we were like,
and they would never come back for the follow-up one.
Yeah.
Right.
So we were like, okay, what's going on here? But what's going on often is the spouse has seen the ministry person get excited about a lot of things and not follow through.
That's correct.
And so here he comes. He's been to another seminar.
Yeah.
And he's all full of it. But I know he's not going to follow through. So so from then on, we thought, we got to have the husband and wife there together, because they need to be on the same page. If you want to do ministry, your spouse is the closest person to you.
Right.
And so start with ministry there.
Right. You know, we do our ordination recommendations, and one of them for ordained role is, will your spouse recommend you?
Right.
And we have found that if your spouse will not recommend you, then maybe you should hold back from seeking license or ordination, because there's an issue there.
Right.
When a spouse is all in on you, guess what? We are impressed that you are someone who is recommended.
Right.
Because your spouse knows you.
Yes.
And if you treat him or her well and love the Lord, and they see you love the Lord, that's a big deal.
Right. And if you're going to start a ministry biz,
yes,
it takes everything you have. And to have the person closest to you be in the supportive role,
yes,
you know, as you face those roadblocks, you have someone in your corner. So being on the same page with your spouse is absolutely critical. Number three, credibility in your relationship to your family.
Wow.
You know, if you're doing anything, it's with your family. Now, I know we both went into the church planting thing, and that is a consuming thing.
Yes.
You start planting a church, it consumes your life.
Yes.
And in the early stages, I was ignoring my family to plant the church. But then eventually I realized that I'm hurting the church by hurting my family, because I'm being the worst example to everyone that has a family.
Right.
And that, you know, so I finally realized that the time I spend with my family is ministry time.
That's right. Absolutely.
I am showing, I am modeling how other people need to make their families front and center. And that's true in the ministry biz too. Families have to be somehow involved. They have to be supportive. They have to be a part of it. It's a family endeavor.
And there is no guarantee that everybody's going to turn out like some utopia. But if you are walking with the Lord, with you, yourself, your spouse, and your family, you're creating a proximity of credibility.
Right.
And again, it's up to the Lord where everything works out, but it's up to you to be faithful, and that's powerful. In fact, the issues, I remember you saying this over many seminars, the issues that you encounter in leading your family are issues that you encounter in every endeavor in your life. Because your kids, you know, that 16-year-old who doesn't want to read the Bible, and somehow you help the 16-year-old read the Bible, that's leadership.
Right.
And that's leadership raw.
Right.
Because that child is just not going to easily be impressed, possibly.
Right. I think that's why in Timothy it says, if you want to be a leader in the church, you have to first be a leader in your family.
Right.
Because it's the same stuff.
Yes.
So,
but real close and real personal.
Yes. So the in some ways the best leadership training that's available to you is what's going on in your own household.
In all the walls and all the struggles.
And it doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect, right? As a leader, you're never perfect. It's really how you handle. I mean, you may have a rebellious son or a rebellious daughter, but how do you handle that? Because you're going to have rebellion in your endeavors wherever you go.
Yeah, you're going to have customers who, you know, we have that at Christian Leaders Institute. Often somebody needs to be expelled, and we have to work with them. Or then your problems. There's always problems.
Always problems. All right. Number four, credibility in your relationship with your friends.
Hmm.
So now you're expanding your influence beyond just your family. Your family is sort of stuck with you. Your friends could take or leave you.
Right.
So friendship is a great arena to learn leadership, because people don't have to stick with you.
Right.
Your family has to stick with you.
Right.
But your friends don't.
Voluntary.
So, right. So, you know, learning how to encourage and balance that whole friendship network, that's an incredible learning place. And if you have a good supportive friendship network, it's because you've done some good things well, and that is an incredible support and credibility system. If you have friends behind you, and as you're launching out to do something new, a ministry biz of some sort, and you have a whole friendship group behind you, people look at that and go, hey, I might get involved with that too, because look at all the friends, look at all the group, that group of friends that you have, they want to support it.
Right.
I want to be a part of that team too.
Very good.
All right. Number five, credibility in your relationship to your church. Okay, now again, the circle's getting bigger and
right.
bigger. If you're at odds with all the people in your church,
conflict.
If your church isn't behind you, and maybe you're just in the wrong church.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. But having that bigger team behind you with whatever you do. I mean, the church really is the most amazing thing on the planet.
Right.
When you're part of the church, you're not just part of a local church. You're part of every church.
Right.
Everywhere. I mean,
right.
we've gone all over the world, and people will take you into their home. They'll make you part of their thing. I mean, without
right.
hardly knowing you at all, it's
right.
just because we're in the church universal.
Right.
So to have great relationships with the church is a great support system.
You know, even for many of you, the pastor did not sign on for you to do ministry training even.
Right.
And you feel persecuted. Here's intuitively, your first reaction is to react.
Right.
But in a lot of ways, it's like that spouse who didn't go to the seminar.
Right.
They have not seen
yes.
what God is doing. So it's going to take a little time.
Yes.
And if you actually show them your awards, you show
right.
what you're doing, you volunteer in any position,
right.
you know,
right.
you don't feel like, well, I'm the answer man, I'm not going to
right.
tell everybody everything.
Right.
But if you just humbly walk there, credibility comes, and then maybe ask for endorsement for
right.
that beginning area of licensure or
yes.
ordination, and it's not a lot, but it's just starting out.
Yes.
What happens, that pastor, that minister sees
right.
changes in you, and that you're not in conflict, and all. It's a powerful credibility.
Yeah. Credibility in some ways comes little by little.
Little by little.
Right?
And reputation.
Even in a marriage relationship, credibility, do you follow through with what you say? Can
right.
I trust you? All those issues
right.
take time to develop. So, yeah, I agree that, you know, you've taken some courses at Christian Leaders Institute, and you have grown incredibly. But the people in your church don't know all that you've learned and all that you've... It's going to take a little time. There's always a lag between growing and then people catching on to that.
You know, I go back to when we have awards, we have credentials, we have ordination. You know, people are like, why do I need all that? Here's why it helps. It helps because if I say, hey, I just finished a whole Bible class, and the minister or even friends in your neighbor or your church, whatever, oh, that's nice. But if you say, you know, I'm really excited, I got this award, and you can see it,
right.
or it's on your wall,
right.
and then the pastor comes over or a church member, they go, what's this? Well, I just finished Old Testament,
yes.
New Testament survey, and that, and this is the biblical
yes.
or the Bible award. Oh, really?
Right.
What are you doing?
Right.
I'm studying this class. Well, what is this class? And then you open up your little phone or your computer,
right.
and you see,
so,
oh, 36 presentations going deep
right.
into the Old Testament,
right.
then the New Testament. That's amazing. I didn't know, John, Susan, that you had
right.
that kind of an interest.
Right.
And then,
yeah,
little by little,
their view of you all of a sudden expands.
Yeah, and we hear that.
Yeah.
Thousands of reports come to us about that little by little.
Right. So, number six, credibility in your relationship to the kingdom.
Mm.
So now we're going beyond the local church. What's your reputation in the community as
right.
as a Christian leader?
Right.
So, in some ways, Christian Leaders Institute is part of that too, because
right.
it's you're expanding your horizons. There's the network where you can communicate with people, get to know other people.
There's the directory.
Right.
You're posted.
So
yeah.
We encourage you to make use of all those things, because the broader your connection, again, the more credibility. In some ways, the local church is just a small little thing.
Right.
And, if someone just came to a local church, they'd go, well, that's not impressive.
Right.
But it's really impressive to look at every single church around the world.
Right.
That we're a part of this incredible network. There's nothing on the planet like the church.
Right. Right.
And so if I am part of this bigger thing,
right.
then my credibility, as I go out, I'm not just representing that little church over there on the corner.
Right.
I'm representing what God is doing all over the world.
Yeah, that's right. That's powerful.
Okay, number seven. Credibility in your relationship to the world, the unconnected to Christ world. So again, to have credibility in that world,
right?
You can relate to people. You don't sound like you're from a different planet.
Right.
You understand current events. you know what's going on in people's lives, and you can engage. You know, that breeds credibility.
Yeah.
If you're always, you know, judging, criticizing, condemning,
the answer man for every problem,
and you people don't know what you're doing, but I know it. Then what credibility do you have that they don't see you as a person that can understand them?
You know, even credibility with things that are interesting to those who are not in church. You know, to have a pickleball or a golf relationship, to, you know, be part of a library club. A coffee shop could be really awesome. You can create a very credible witness while you're having conversations of interest to the people who come. These may not be conversations that are always interesting to you, but you are engaging and you're creating a credible place for a voice to be shared when the Holy Spirit opens that door.
That's right. All right, so let's, Henry, look at some practices, simple things that build credibility, simple things that you can do.
Okay.
So one is telling the truth. Okay?
In some ways, does this need to be said?
Well, it's, you know, a lot of times people will say what people want to hear.
Right.
Or they'll say things that make them look
exaggerate.
You know, like a lot of salesmen fall into this problem.
Right.
They'll oversell, and then when the product doesn't turn out to be that way, then see, they lose credibility.
Right.
You're better off saying, you know, if you're a salesman and you're selling something, you hear what they have to say, and you might conclude, you know what, I don't think this product is the right one for you.
Benefit.
See, that would be now, if that guy meets someone else who does fit that, he's going to say something about you. He's going to say, you know what, I met this guy, and he was willing to let a sale go just to meet my need.
Right.
So telling the truth, following through with what you're going to do. That's the next one, really. Keeping your promises. I read some study that suggested that the number one problem between parents and kids, the number one issue that kids have with parents, is they don't keep their promises.
It's almost like parents make too many promises to appease the moment, but they don't keep.
They don't.
They can't really keep track of the promises they make.
Right.
And then the kids pay attention to that.
Yes. And so then what mom and dad say, you cannot count on.
Gotcha.
So, and that's true in every relationship, in friendship relationships. If you say you're going to do something, and then half the time you don't, then how can people? How can you go forward when you have no idea what's going to happen? And certainly if you're going to do ministry, if you promise to do something, you have to follow through and actually do it.
Right.
And, you know, that, you know, like in parenting too, it's sometimes hard, you know, when you set up discipline things and then they do it, and you have to be the bad guy and follow through with what you said. But if you don't, soon none of the words that you say mean anything. So following through with your promises, if you want to start a business, if you're going to start a coffee shop and you say the coffee is good, and then you clean the pot but you don't get the soap out of it, and then it tastes soapy or whatever, people, that affects people.
Right.
So you have to follow through with what you say. Number three, taking on responsibility. Okay, so many people skirt responsibility. They're waiting for someone else to step up and do something so that they don't have to do the work. When you see someone who steps up and says, I will do it, I will take care of it.
Right.
When people see that kind of person, they go, I trust that person.
Right.
If that person is going to take some hill, I might join that person because this is a person who does what they say they're going to do. And they're not afraid to take ownership for something.
Right. And if something goes wrong, they're not afraid to say, I was wrong.
Exactly. Which is the next one.
Oh. Admitting mistakes.
Admitting mistakes. Right? If you're always, we call it glozing.
Yeah, glozing. G-L-O-Z-I-N-G.
It means finding excuse.
Yeah.
So it's so easy to do. When things don't go right, it's somebody else's fault. It's the government's fault. It's the neighbor's fault. It's the company's fault.
My child's fault. My parents' fault.
Raised in the wrong side of the track fault. Yeah. It's my culture's fault. It's God's
Adam and
fault.
Eve, it's the serpent's fault. It's the wife's woman's fault. it's your fault, God. Right. We have that sinful nature tendency.
Right. And so, but who wants to follow that?
Right.
Right? All right, next let's talk about giving God the glory in all things. But hold it, Henry. Let's just go back to admitting mistakes.
Okay.
I know it's humbling to do it. And in some ways, if you admit something, then why would people follow, right? You're saying, I am flawed, so why should you follow me? So that's why we don't admit mistakes. But if we admit mistakes and then positively go from that, actually people can relate to us more.
Yeah.
Right? It's the person who never makes a mistake that we don't follow because we're too intimidated by them. But a person that admits, hey, you know, I made a mistake, but here's what I really want to do, people are actually more willing to follow someone like that because they're honest and
transparent.
They're transparent, and they're not going to yank your chain. They're not going to be so defensive that they, you know, no one wants to follow somebody that is always right.
Yeah, it will not admit they're wrong.
So actually admitting wrong, it's sort of counterintuitive that, you know, instead of having less people follow you, you actually get more people following.
That's very good. Okay.
All right, so number four, the last one, giving God the glory in all things. This, in some ways, why do I want credibility? A lot of times we want credibility because we are building something, we're making something happen, we want others to join us. But sometimes it's for our own glory. We're building our kingdom.
Right.
And when people sense that you're just building your kingdom, it's hard to have an influence over people like that because, you know, why do I want to help you build your kingdom?
Right.
So the key to really all this credibility stuff is to have a sense that you're building God's kingdom. That the credibility you seek is not for your kingdom building, but so that you can build God's kingdom.
You know, in a lot of ways, it's kind of an interesting topic when it comes to, like, license, ordination. And the Apostle Paul says to elder minister types, you know, if you seek this office, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
And then there's qualifications.
Right.
It's almost like the good thing is to do it, to glorify God in a process that others say that you are a recognized leader. If the care of souls are going to be in your hands, you don't want to say, follow me, I am a leader, I'm credible because I say so.
Right. I think a good example of that is Nehemiah and the building of the walls, you know, in the Old Testament. They built all these walls. The people did this. They worked hard. They had a lot of obstacles. They, after it was built halfway, they got tired and so on. But in the end, they completed the thing. But then what I thought was always interesting, it says, and the neighboring people feared because they saw that with the help of God, these people built the wall.
Right.
It wasn't because the people built the wall.
Right.
It was because they saw that with the help of God, they built the wall. So the credibility is not just your credibility, like you're so special and you're so powerful and you're so... People are wary of that.
Yes.
But when they see that God is behind everything that you're doing... See, that gives confidence because something bigger than you is behind you.
And so you've got God behind you, and then like the Apostle Paul with Phoebe, I commend to you Phoebe, a diaconess.
Right.
Then others acknowledge this. In some ways, Christian Leaders Institute, college, we've had these types of issues where we're going for accreditation.
Right.
Now, we're going for accreditation not because we want government funding, and they call it Title IV government loans for our students. We're going for credibility because we want to help you reach the world for Jesus Christ.
Right.
And so then we submit ourselves to a process.
Right.
And the process is basically an involved process that's costly to have other people's check everything that we're doing, other academics and whatnot, to make sure that we are who we say we are.
Right.
And so it becomes sort of like, why do you go through a process of ordination? You get recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
You ask for recommendations. It, you know, some people have said, well, you know, I don't need ordination. I don't need, all I need is Jesus. And yes, that is all we need is Jesus Christ. But it's true that you're interested in going to an accredited organization. You're interested in following people that others agree are followable. But it all comes down to this point. Is it for God's glory or is it for yourself? I mean, many people get credibility because they want a certification so they can get something. But in Jesus Christ, in ministry, we get certified in a process to glorify God.
It's really just being recognized by others in some ways. It's I can say I'm good at this, but when three other people say that,
it matters.
It helps people listening to go, okay, maybe it is true.
Yes.
If it's just me, I mean, I could be delusional about myself. I mean, honestly, delusional. I don't know everything about me. Well, we have some funny stories
where somebody seeking ordination and they can get two recommendations and they cannot get the third.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes these stories aren't so funny. People get very upset with us. Why can't you ordain us, you know, and finish the process when we have two and I can't get the third one? But we believe that that's an important standard.
Right. Yeah. So you need the support of others, and that's really what credibility is all about.